Good morning, everybody. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we're looking today at Proverbs 3, 21 through 35. I'm calling the lesson today, Wearing Wisdom Well. And I wish I'd come up with that, but I didn't. I was doing some research and came across a Bible study by a guy with the last name Van Meter. I think he pastors somewhere up north. But I thought that was an apt description of what the Bible is trying to communicate here. It's kind of like dressing for spiritual success. And, you know, there's often in our culture a lot of emphasis on the appropriate dress, the sharp dressed man, you know, clean shirt, new shoes. I don't know where I'm going to, you know. As much as it matters to be presentable externally, the book of Proverbs is reminding us that we need to wear wisdom and we need to wear it well. Now, let's talk a little bit about the setting. Look back in verses 13 through 18 and how appropriate on Father's Day that you've got a father addressing a son. And he's reminding that son of the blessing of wisdom. Now, we've talked about wisdom in past weeks and the fact that wisdom is more than just knowledge, information, and the accumulation of it. Rather, wisdom is the application of God's truths. It's taking insights that God reveals and plugging them in our lives. Then look at verses 19 and 20, kind of a hinge passage between 13 through 18 and 21 through 35. But here in these two verses, we get a reminder that God is the source of wisdom. In his creative role, he is the source, and we can say the sustainer of wisdom. Look at it. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds drop down the dew. And so just a reminder there that the source of wisdom comes from God who created all things out of nothing, which really staggers the mind. He is an inexhaustible source and resource of wisdom and knowledge and power. Well, if I were going to sum up what we're talking about today in a single sentence, this is what it would sound like. Our takeaway is going to be this, because God's wisdom is the sole source of security. Cling to it with humility. And we'll see at the end of the text how this humility idea comes into play. First of all, let's look at verses 21 through 26. And we're going to see here the importance of prioritizing wisdom and the security it provides. Notice in this text how the practice of wisdom and security go together. You follow along as I read verses 21 through 26. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely. There it is. And your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Well, those are incredibly comforting words, especially in these days, aren't they? Well, notice with me that we have, beginning with these verses, the first of seven do not statements. You might look in your English translation there, and you'll see the first of seven do not statements. Here's the first one of those statements. Do not lose sight of these. Well, what is these referring to? Well, I think we go back to chapter 3, verse 13. And notice what it says there. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. And so the father writing to the son, communicating with the son, is saying, hey, whatever else you do, be sure you don't lose sight of wisdom and discretion, the proper application of that wisdom. Don't lose sight of wisdom. and understanding. Then look at the command there. It's a very powerful verb there. Keep it. Guard it is the idea. Guard it. It's like treasure it, like a prized possession, like something that you would put away for safekeeping, not to forget about, but because you treasure it so much, you want to make sure that it is guarded at all times. And look at the consequence in verses 23 and 24, security in all situations. Now, as we let Scripture interpret Scripture, this is not a promise that if I walk in God's wisdom in His path, that I'll never have difficulty, that I'll never have physical pain or anguish. That's not the point of this text. The point is that even in the midst of all of those circumstances, I have a security that no event, no circumstance, no trial in my life can ever begin to take away. And will you notice with me also in this text, the reference to sleep? If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. I think all of us at our ages know the value of sleep and how elusive it can be. And when sleep is good, it really is sweet, isn't it? Well, let's just pause there for a moment and let me remind you that the Lord Himself is not the host of slumber parties, okay? He doesn't do that. Look with me or just listen as I read from Psalm 21, Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. No slumber parties with the Almighty. Then look at this, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Notice that, in vain. It is vain, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he, that is the Lord, gives to his beloved sleep. So one of the signs in Scripture of the security that God's people can know in every circumstance is the sweetness of sleep, the security of sleep. Now listen to what John Piper wrote about this thing called sleep. God never sleeps, but we sleep one-third of our lives. God made sleep as a continual reminder that we should not be anxious, but should rest in Him. Well, that's a word we need to hear in these crazy days. Once a day, God sends us to bed like patients with a sickness. What is that sickness? It is a chronic tendency to think we are in control and that our work is indispensable. What's God's cure? He turns us into helpless sacks of sand once a day. Sleep is like a broken record that constantly is saying, man is not sovereign, man is not sovereign, man is not sovereign. And so we are to prioritize wisdom and the security that it brings. Now look with me again at verse 26. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Look at that word keep in verse 26. Then go back to verse 21. Let's make a connection there. The point is, those who keep, who treasure, who guard wisdom, God's truth, God's instruction, the application of it, those who keep wisdom are kept by God. There is a protective value beyond anything any of us could ever imagine when it comes to walking in God's wisdom. That's why He gives it to us. It is protective. We do not fear because Yahweh, the covenant God, gives us security. Now look at verses 25 and 26. Notice verse 25, the ruin, literally in Hebrew, the storm of the wicked. You know, it's easy for us sometimes to think it seems like the wrongdoer just gets by and those who try to follow the Lord just suffer and have so much difficulty. But here's a text that reminds us that the storm is inevitably coming for those who disregard the wisdom of God. And in the end, God preserves his people. Now let's move on to verses 27 through 35. And I want you to see how this is a very practical thing. Okay, we talked about wisdom and its security. Now you are to relate to others on the basis of wisdom's security. Now, can I just say that the principle that you find in this passage is really the diagnosis of the problem that you and I have, that all sinners have, but I think it particularly speaks to the problems in our culture, in our world today. The constant barrage of competing opinions, competing conclusions, the unrest, the argument, the discord. Why does all of that happen? Well, there are a lot of reasons, but one reason this is going on is because people do not treasure and value God's wisdom, and they don't relate to other people on the basis of the security that God's wisdom brings. So you follow along as I read verses 27 through 30. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. There's the third do not. Earlier, we're not to be afraid of sudden terror. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. Well, there's that series of do nots. If I could sum it up like this, in this section of Scripture, it makes me think of the State Farm commercials. I am to be a good neighbor. Like a good neighbor, I'm to be there. But I'm not simply to be there with State Farm. I'm to be there with the reliable kindness, with the hesed, with the mercy of God. God has dealt with me mercifully. He has dispensed his wisdom into my life and into your life. And so his wisdom and the security it brings should govern how I relate to people around me, the contacts within the circumstances of my life. Notice that the writer here is including both sins of commission and omission. Don't withhold something that might help a brother or sister. Sins of omission and commission. Notice, don't devise harm. Don't plot against your neighbor who trustingly dwells beside you. When it's in your power to do good, don't delay doing good. Don't put it off. Don't envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways. Just very practical information here. Look at it again. We don't withhold good from those to whom it is due. Literally, those that are its owners, those who have walked in integrity, those who have dealt trustingly with us. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. More than words. Don't plan evil against your neighbor. Don't contend. That's a powerful statement. I don't know if there's ever been a more contentious time, certainly not in my life. Probably not in yours. Don't contend with a man for no reason when he's done you no harm. Don't envy a man of violence. For the devious person is an abomination. Literally, it's a sickening thing. It is abhorrent to God. Well, then notice what we have in the last part of the text. Look at the contrast. The devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. Then look at this blessing and curse. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. You know, you see this in Scripture so much. And I think one reason it's there is because of what I've already referenced. So often in this life, it seems like the more we try to take the Lord seriously and plug in his wisdom and obey him, sometimes it looks like life gets more complicated, and the people that are just oblivious or even in outright opposition to God's wisdom seem to get off scot-free. But again and again and again, we get this reminder, there's ultimate blessing for those who take God seriously, and there's ultimate curse for those who fail to take him seriously. Look at verse 34, okay? Here's what we need to cultivate. We need to cultivate that spirit of humble trust. Toward the scorners, he is scornful. Literally, God scoffs at the scoffers. God scoffs at the scoffers, but in contrast to that, but to the humble, he gives grace. Unearned, undeserved favor. Now, you go to the New Testament and the book of James and in Peter's letters, you'll see them picking up Proverbs 3:34. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, I don't know about you. COVID is not a good thing, and all the turbulence and turmoil we have is not a good thing at all. But I can't think of anything worse than for God to declare war on me, and for God to be opposed to me, and for God to count me as one of the scoffers against whom he will inevitably scoff. No, I want to be marked in that group of the humble, acknowledging, Lord, I lack wisdom. I need wisdom. James 1:5, you are the source of wisdom. I need your wisdom. I want to treasure it. I want to value it in my life. Well, just hold your place right there and listen to what the Bible says. Here's Brother Peter over here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Finally, the wise will inherit honor, but fools get the opposite of grace. They get disgrace. What is the ultimate destiny of those who are wise and humble themselves and treasure God's wisdom? It is a lasting inheritance. And of course, that lasting inheritance is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the personification, the incarnation of wisdom. So let's move on and answer the so what questions this morning. Sleep, as I said, is like that daily reminder from God that we are not God, says Piper. That daily reminder from God that we're not God. And then look at this little gem that relates to our text today. The habitual eyeing of the world keeps the feet on a slippery path. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. Do you and I need to crawl in a hole and bunker and just deny reality? I'm not saying that. We need to be informed, but y'all, there's a difference between being informed and being obsessed with information. I can promise you, if your daily diet consists of hours of Fox or CNN or some other news outlet, and it has limited portions of Holy Scripture in it, you are not going to be at peace. You are not going to experience the security of the wisdom of God. Should I be informed? Yes. But I need to make sure that I'm not obsessed. I need to be obsessed with the wisdom of God. Well, think about the connection of this text to Christ. I've already read from 1 Peter chapter 5, clothe yourselves with humility, right? Well, we need to clothe ourselves with the humility of ultimate wisdom. Think about Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, and you know the rest of the passage, he humbled himself even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so what does wisdom ultimately look like? Well, according to the New Testament, wisdom is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think like he thinks. I want to worship like he worships. I want to be singularly focused on the Father. I want to relate to other people like he relates to people. I want to be merciful as he is merciful. I want to speak the truth in love as he speaks the truth in love. I want to clothe myself with ultimate wisdom, the wisdom of Jesus. That is the greatest advice a father can give a son. And on this Father's Day, I'm sure a number of us are giving thanks to the Lord for fathers who loved the Lord and instructed us to fear him and to value his wisdom and the security it brings. In about 1641, a guy named Georg Neumark penned some words that are still used today. And I think they speak to this text, and they're a great application for us. If you but trust God to guide you and place your confidence in him, you'll find him always there beside you to give you hope and strength within. For those who trust God's changeless love, build on the rock that will not move. Why is wisdom important? Why is there security in wisdom? It's because those who trust God's changeless love are building on the rock that will not be moved. Now, think about today. It seems like everything that was once nailed down seems to be coming loose. But when we trust the changeless love of God, we build on the rock that will not move. That's the perspective of wisdom, and we need to wear it well. Would you join me as we pray? Father, thank you for your word, and we confess that we lack wisdom, and your word says if we lack it, we are to ask wisdom from you, and that you will not withhold it from us. Father, thank you for the security of wisdom. Thank you that in days when everything that's nailed down seems to be coming loose, that you are on your throne, that you are the solid rock. And when we trust your changeless love, we build on the rock that will not move. Thank you, Lord, for your security. I pray this week that we would treasure wisdom in a new way, and that we would give thanks to you for the security that it brings. All this we pray for your glory and in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, ultimate wisdom himself. Amen. Now receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hope you all have a great Father's Day and a great week ahead. See you next time.